So Edgar Mitchell is in the, well, he's in the spaceship out in space, and this is an American astronaut. Listen, he's gone down as one of the great American heroes, and he has an epiphany out there in space. He's looking at all creation, and it's all over the web, and it's really from years ago, but it leads up to what we're going to deal with tonight. He has a literal... experience in seeing all that he sees out there. Well, there's an acknowledgement in his mind that there really is a divine being. There really is a backdrop to all things, a spiritual reality without question. And so, listen, this is very important for us to understand. Natural creation or general revelation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and that's what God was trying to communicate to Ed Mitchell. Edgar Mitchell. So here, as we think in terms of well, it looks like we're just now off the air. There we go. We're back on? Thank you. So as we're thinking in terms of Ed Mitchell and his experience of the divine, what he engaged out there in space, what he saw, what he felt, and really, as again the scriptures say, all of creation, it pours forth speech. There is a massive communication, so much so that even in Romans chapter 1, well, we're left without excuse. God's divine nature, his eternal qualities, his invisible. Listen, all these things are described in the book of Romans chapter 1. But what we do with it, back in the day, before I ever came to know that God was real, God was knowable, well, there's all kinds of spiritual searches, and listen, the woods, it has always been a place where I could go to think and think through and realize that there's something beyond myself, but just by creation alone, and with an incredible experience that there is something divine, something so massive, well, that didn't solve all of it for me. And it's possible that in the mix of looking and searching and questing and coming to a breakthrough, some have called old humanism, secular humanism, is no longer really the big quest. Though some of the new atheists are going after it, it's really no longer the big quest. Somebody has said now that cosmic humanism is the big quest. Cosmic humanism. So that something spiritual, something out there, the difficulty in my reading, studying, and even listening live in Roswell to Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut, I see that he's gripped the spiritual finite and not the infinite. Big difference. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar on a Wednesday night, October the 6th. It is 2010, and we're in a week-long series called Homo Sapiens in Search of Significance. Homo Sapiens in Search of Significance. And I want you to know right now, welcome to all those of you listening everywhere, and welcome to all those that will download later on. Prayers, blessings, and that all of creation would unleash its witness of God, but special revelation, the Word of God, the Christ of God, the Savior, and even right now, the work of the Spirit of God would bring you into a relationship, into a knowing mind, emotion, body, soul, spirit, to know that you know on an experiential basis God. A lot of experiences out there, not all of them are coming from God. Now, we're doing the series this week because there's a cry for a change. There's a cry for a change. Now, politically, we're going to hear it all the way, you know, through November and all of the elections that are coming up. Everybody's going to change everything for us. We all need change. You know, every January, change comes about. Everybody's telling you about diets and New Year's resolutions, but this goes beyond all of that. So listen, for this week, Homo Sapiens in Search of Significance, we're going into the areas of philosophy and psychology and science and biology, theology, and also metaphysics. Monday night, original humanity. Tuesday night, we had to put out a special broadcast. I had to be called away and did not get back till late. But here, Wednesday night, Homo Sapiens, evolution to Homo Nauticus. The quest for that elusive secret knowledge or that consciousness. We're going to get into that because, listen, maybe many of you, I do know millions upon millions, are interested. They're understanding and they're gripping this new growing spiritual wave. Don't forget tonight after the 6 to 7 o'clock hour, my friends, every Wednesday night now we have the Ragged Edge. That is the show we used to do on Sunday night. So immediately following this live show, there is the live Ragged Edge show you can go to. And again, off the site, shatterthedarkness.net. Listen, hundreds and hundreds of MP3s. If you are new to this voice, new to this program, just go to shatterthedarkness.net. You'll find hundreds and hundreds of MP3s to download, all kinds of teaching and training materials. If you need to know more about us, on the left-hand side, you'll find, my bio information, background, because requested, and a few more things. We're glad when you write to us, even if it's just to let us know that you're listening. We're glad that you are. We invite all believers in Christ, unleash your prayers for us and for all of this week. There is always that spiritual, warfare that does go on. And we are here knowing in one supernatural, providential hour, well, God may grip your heart, your life. God may open your heart and mind to what He is doing. Into what, knowing Him and growing in God, and then understanding where we are. Origins, endings, those are vital issues. But everybody wants to know what's going on right now, what's happening all around us. There's almost this kind of 9/11 urgency, 9/11 angst. You know, where's mankind going? Now, listen, as I think through all of this, I have looked up a lot of different websites and was checking on some things, reading some books. Well, the book in front of me, Redesigning Humans by Gregory Stock, along with about five or six others, listen to this carefully. Quote, a groundbreaking work. Redesigning Humans tackles the controversial subject of engineering the human germline. The process of permanently altering the genetic code of an individual so that the changes are passed on to the offspring. Gregory Stock, an expert on the implications of recent advances in reproductive biology, has glimpsed our inevitable future. Within decades, listen now, within decades, Stock asserts technological advances will bring meaningful changes to our offspring. This scientific revolution promises to fundamentally alter the human species. Can I say it again? This scientific revolution promises to fundamentally alter the human species. And book after book after book and documentary and all kinds of things we're listening to. And we're taking a look at this massive quest, conquer death, biological or artificial intelligence or cloning. What is it going to take to destroy death, end death, and change and alter us? That we would live forever, that we would live forever. Now, many are doing it in the sense of the quality of life, but on the side of the science and biology and the geneticists, there is the quest to conquer death and to change and alter. Now, let me ask you a question. Does that include our behavior? Will the new genetically engineered immortal man or woman be good, kind, free from sin? Can you engineer in, like a robot, that is not allowed to turn on you, like a robot that is not allowed to do evil, like a robot that is not allowed? Listen, who does control the genetic manipulation? If it's all about, listen again, I quote, "The scientific revolution promises to fundamentally alter the human species." Now, this is amazing to me because star children, indigo children, evolution in consciousness, and that's a primary issue tonight. Edgar Mitchell, the scientist, has moved from an experience where creation unleashed the witness of the transcendent yet personal God, but instead, regardless of that, there was an embracing of, well, the alternative. Absolutely the alternative. An absolute commitment. Now listen, you know what I did? I read today a number of websites. One of those that I was reading was going on all about Homo Nauticus. This is the change in human consciousness. This is what you're going to hear flowing out of the East, flowing out of New Age spirituality. It is going to flow out of where there's a combination of science and finite spirituality, material spiritual realities, and it's going to be also what's going to come out of the 2012 prophecies. So I'm reading one individual, and they're saying that, listen, all the old religion is out. All the stuff about God, Jesus, Bible, all of that's is on its way out. And besides, all of that was just religious dogma. Instead now, there's a redesigning of what God is like and about our approach to God. And in that redesigning, there is, in the same article, the promotion of evolution to Homo Nauticus, evolution to a new consciousness in humanity that changes us spiritually, changes us physically, changes us in our knowledge, changes us in every kind of way. As I continued to read, I could not help but to see the massive flaw in the argument. On the one hand, the argument is getting rid of the old religious dogma, you know, the old teachings and so forth, and saying that we don't need that kind of thing. Yet the concept of an evolution of human consciousness is also dogma. It is also spiritual content. It is also teaching. Let's ask the question, where does the teaching of the evolution of humanity, where does it come from? Where does it flow from? Where's the origins of the teaching? I mean, we can find it in old, you know, pantheism, Hinduism. We can find it in the New Age. We can find it in the Mayan prophecies. We can find it in the quest. Now, this hour, we're focusing on Homo Nauticus, the idea of the evolution of consciousness. And we're touching on the genetic issue, too, because they're looking for the same thing, in a sense. They're looking for a dramatic fundamental change to the very nature of humanity. And both the geneticists, the goal of a biological, fundamental, scientific change in altering human species, or in the spiritual side of a evolution that will transform human consciousness forever, both tell me this: that they're acknowledging that something clearly is wrong with humanity. Something's wrong within us. Something's wrong within our genetics, because the idea is we can make it better. Something's wrong in the mind of man. So an evolutionary, global, conscious shift is in the workings to change our thinking, to change our mind, to change everything. Dear friends, this means that there is a vast acknowledgement that we are flawed, that Homo sapiens are in search of significance and significant change. Change in the conquest of conquering death and somehow injecting spiritually, genetically, Well, longevity, if not immortality. Changing the fundamental nature of humanity. Do we understand how broad, how wide, how deep this concept really is? This is a massive declaration. Now, I'm reading on the ICONS website. This is the Institute for Noetic Sciences. This is where Ed Mitchell and many others are putting out the content. It's very great and a very professional-looking site, and it has, wow, just listen. Social healing. And rewriting the story of who we are. Energy medicine and the multidimensional model. Mindscapes, the variety of sacred geography. And we can go on and on. Consciousness and healing. The spiritual engagement project. I mean, you can go on and on and on. And actually, you can browse the topics that deal with intuition, meditation, mind matter intervention. It deals with neuroscience, parapsychology, philosophy, physics, pro-social emotions. It deals with psychology and spirituality and states of consciousness, subtle energies, transformation. It deals with death, dying, and beyond. It deals deeply with remote viewing. And again, all of what is coming there is questing for a massive change. I'm going to ask you right now, do you need a change? I can ask you right now, as you look at mankind, as you look at the economic side, the environmental side, the political side, if you look at the world around us, we all feel the same thing. As a matter of fact, listen to this. I'm going over right now to what is called Enlightened Next Magazine. Enlightened Next Magazine. It's, titled Towards Homo Nauticus. It's an interview with John White by Craig Hamilton. It begins by saying this, and you've got to hear this. It says this: many futurists, scientists, and social thinkers feel that humanity is facing an evolutionary crisis. They predict potentially devastating global transformations over the next several decades as environmental destruction, overpopulation, rapid globalization, and technological experimentation place our species and the planet as a whole in an ever more precarious balance. Many leading thinkers have suggested that given the enormity of the challenges we are facing, listen, I want you to hear this quote, the only solution that could hope to get to the root of the problem is a spiritual solution. I agree with that, but here's where it takes the left-hand path. Here's where it takes a left turn. I quote from this website and from what this declaration is. Quote, they're saying this is the spiritual solution. Quote, a transformation of consciousness. What do you think about this idea? Can enlightenment save the world? End of quote. So in the article from Enlightened Next Magazine, with John White, Craig Hamill's doing the questions, that's how he opens up the interview that he's going to do. Going off to John, he goes on to say, enlightenment is the only thing which can save the world. The only thing. Now, I've got to read that one more time because I want you to hear. If you are a believer in Christ, if you're someone that really knows the Spirit of God within your life and you know about things that are coming and the second coming and how everything is changing, that's one thing everybody agrees with. Massive changes, massive danger, feel it in the air, catastrophic events. Yet, on the one hand, that which is behind the cause of the feeling and the coming catastrophic collapses is also presenting a false flag solution, a masqueraded solution. Now, John White, who's very well known to be in as far as an expert in this area, his response to this is, quote, enlightenment is the only thing which can save the world. The only thing, end of quote. Goes on to say this, when I was working with Apollo 14 astronaut Edgar Mitchell, we had the idea that the Institute of Noetic Sciences, which he founded back in 1972, and for which I was the director of education, could study the human mind in order to apply our findings to the problems confronting humanity. It was clear to Ed from the moment he had an epiphany or a religious experience in the space capsule coming back to Earth that the problems besetting humanity are not inherent in the natural world. Social divisions and conflict and strife and all the political troubles, he saw that those problems arose at the level of the human mind or human consciousness and wanted to study that in order to solve those problems at the root level. Now he goes on to quote Einstein. And so there's going to be, in all of this discussion, a connection with, well, I would call it material spirituality, finite spirituality, that is real, alive, burgeoning, and bulging at the seams, deeply cloaked and masqueraded. I would only warn that we should listen to the words of Jesus Christ. After all, in Roswell, New Mexico, a couple of years ago, I stood down there at the Civic Center listening to Edgar Mitchell talk about remote viewing. And then in the discussion, he told everybody in the crowd that we should listen to the masters, to Jesus and to Buddha. Well, listen, there I was standing there, coming out of Golden Buddha and deeply invested in the kind of passive approach to gaining spirituality in the temple where I was coming from, in a quest and a search of my own, in all the experiences that were real, the only difficulty was this. None of it led me to the experience of embracing the transcendent, personal, infinite God that was seeking me all the time. My spiritual quest was invaded by the Spirit of God through a man that shared the living Christ. Now, in that discussion, in that place, there was no in the end of the discussion, there was no invitation to know God. There was no invitation to the coming glorification, the actual genetic body, mind, soul, the total ultimate fix, indestructible, irrevocable immortality. Can I say to the biologist? Can I say to the geneticist? Can I say to the New Age quester, to the 2012 quester? Can I say to Edgar Mitchell, the Institute of Noetic Sciences, that on this vast plate of spiritual experiences and events and communications, there's two sides of the coin. And I'm not sure that you have actually embraced deep and broad and wide study that comes from God, that comes from the Spirit of God. I'm not sure that you've studied the great and incredible revelation of God over 1,600 years, 40 different writers it took, with in the context of dreams, angelic visitation, God's interaction, revelation on the nature of evil, revelation on the nature of the fall of man, revelation on the issue of the fix, redemption, glorification, the coming immortality, and seeing God face to face. Now, all of that is in the data, the revelation that God brought about. And there is another stream. There is an alternative. There is a anti-Christu spirituality that brings, not just diversion and everything else, but it brings something that can captivate minds. Now, I'm gonna read you something else here tonight real quick. Now, this is an article that comes from a e-blogger, Barbara Henderson. I don't know her at all. I just happened to pick it up. It was done in April 14th, 2009, and I was kind of amazed. Back then, she grips this whole issue of the evolution of humanity, the goal of fixing humanity. Somehow, if it's not scientific, if it's not genetic, if it's not biological, and the hopes are vast in that field, there are those that believe in that field that immortality can be reached. No need for God. No need for God's, not just spontaneous creation out of nothing something, but the concept of something's wrong with humanity. And now, whether it's artificial intelligence, cloning, some scientific fix is in the making. And the developments are head spinning. And the developments will change, I'll quote it again from the back of the book, Redesigning Humans, scientific revolution promises to fundamentally alter the human species. Really? What are we going to be? What kind of altered humanity? What's the fundamental change that will literally change all of our offspring from that point on? What is that change? Well, listen, this really cool article by Barbara Henderson. Is Homo Nauticus replacing, this is the title of her article, is Homo Nauticus replacing Homo sapien as the dominant life form on Earth? And so she begins with the question, who is really a human being? I go on to quote from her, in America and around the world, there is a battle raging regarding abortion as the legitimate method of birth control. And it goes on to discuss abortion. It goes on to discuss, I quote, history shows us that all that is needed to launch a war on human beings of any age is the arrogance that comes from a radical, superior complex. Barbara, I don't know you. You have hit this on the head. She's saying that in the context of the evolutionary development or change, Homo Nauticus, the change in human consciousness, and that that change will bring about a superior humanity. Transgenics is all about that. It's all about a superior human. And here's what Barbara, in her blog, has literally hit the center of the target. I quote from her article, history shows us that all that is needed to launch a war on human beings of any age is the arrogance that comes from a radical superiority complex. A radical superiority complex. In recent history, she goes on to say, we saw it in World War II. Japan saw themselves as a people superior to all other races. Germany saw itself as a race superior to all other races. Pretty amazing. The Germans, it was okay to slaughter the Jews. And so as Barbara goes on, she talks about the abortionists, the concept of a superiority complex. Now, you've heard of somebody having an inferiority complex. Well, here she goes on, and I quote, the answer is they had a quantum leap in evolution. In other words, their parents were simple Homo sapiens. Then, due to the quantum leap forward in evolution, the children born to these parents were suddenly Homo Nauticus. That is, supposedly, the next step in the evolutionary ladder. Homo Nauticus. The creation of superior Homo sapiens. Will this free them from the concept of Godmen, of looking at the rest of the human race as a pig race? You understand that the ideology, the spiritual ideology that was lacing Nazi political ideology and political mind and thought concerning the Jews was they were an inferior race. They were a pig race. And the Nazi and the Aryan, well, they were the superior. There was a superiority complex. Now, it's one thing to say, I want to make an aspirin or I want to make penicillin. I want to do something to help cure cancer. I want to do some of these things. But the leap has gone from the help to almost a deifying of science. That science itself, in the genetic sense, in the biological sense, in the artificial intelligence sense, well, in some way, science will bring about the fix. We fixed quite a few things. Why can't we fix everything? So in the germline, in the genetic splicing, in the changing of genes, can we nix death? Can we create a new, fundamentally different human being that once they are on the stage, let me ask a question to all those who've heard about star children, indigo children. You know, the new ones that are growing, whose brain and mind and skull is different. The ones whose intelligence and spiritual, psychic, and other abilities are beyond everybody else. What about when they get older? Does this include behavior? Does this include a behavior that loves everybody? Or does it include a behavior of superiority? Of eventual, you know, eradicate the rest of humanity. Get rid of them. Why? Because there's a problem. Why? Because mankind dies. Why? Because we sin and we fight and we rape and we kill and we do all these things. That there's got to be a fundamental change. And if artificial intelligence, if biological manipulation, science can bring about that change, glory to science, they would say. Well, on the other side of the fence, Edgar Mitchell, institutes that are combining a kind of science, a metaphysical science, is applied to, again, the fix for humanity, the change. Listen, you might be listening right now and you might realize there's a change that is needed. Look at the world. Anybody would say and start off with, the world's a mess. You're right. So what's the applied change? In all of the discussion, and in many of these discussions on redesigning humans and redesigning the future, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, you watch it with 2012 prophecies and all this discussion, redesigning humans and redesigning the future are going to go hand in hand. Globalism and the quest for homo nauticus, homo lumos, homo deity will be inseparable. There'll be a sense of spiritual promise, scientific conquest, with a globalization that is viewed as saving the world, saving humanity, saving it all. So don't get in the way. Now it's very clear that Barbara Henderson, going on in her article, and I quote her again, quote, the homo nauticus human being is enlightened, understands the failings of the Bible, and the necessity of including all religion in determining one personal belief. They will tolerate all personal beliefs as long as there are no absolute values or unchangeable truths involved. Homo nauticus judges truth and right through personal experience and feelings. Did you hear it? Homo nauticus, the new superior man, the new superior human, the new superior evolved. Now, they're going to judge all the past. They're going to judge all the rest. Through their experience and their development and their self-declaration of human superiority. Well, they're going to judge all the rest. Now, I go on to say these words. I'm quoting these words now from Barbara Henderson in her blog. This supposed, quote, higher form of humanity is currently emerging on the earth. It will make Homo sapiens obsolete and even a drain on the resources of society as a whole. Man, she is really seeing the implications of redesigning humanity, of the spiritual evolution to homonadagus, of a superior human being, regular old human beings, obsolete. As a matter of fact, she goes on, quote, homonadagus are involved in multidimensional, that the older version of humankind, well, we're only, well, one-dimensional. Goes on to say their soul and spirit are more merged and more aware of events beyond that of the five senses can perceive. Their quantum leap in evolution is first spiritual. The physical quantum leap will come later. Now, that's part of the teaching of Homo Nauticus, Homo Lumos, Homo Deity. I'll carry this over in the 7 o'clock hour with, you can get into the chat room and send questions. And by the way, during this show, you can send questions also. ShatterXmail, sbcglobal.net. I want to say again, hello to all those who have come from, well, the conference over the weekend. I want to say that we had a great time with everyone and appreciate all the emails and letters. Do apologize being so far behind on these emails. Well, I'm going to go a little bit further because I think that Barbara has hit this right on the head. Here she goes with this question. Now, why would Homo Nauticus want to keep Homo sapiens around? The poor, out-of-date Homo sapiens will be less than human. They are not useful. Why keep them around? Once the Homo Nauticus beings are in open control, the less developed Homo sapiens will quickly become an endangered species. And they will not receive protection as endangered species. They will likely be considered something like termite infestation in an expensive home. Like any homeowner, Mother Earth will prefer that they be eradicated. I want to say thank you to Barbara Henderson for her article. Just simply hitting the nail on the head, so to speak. Now, I've got some questions I want to bring out concerning this issue of Homo Nauticus. I hope that as you're listening, maybe again, you are a New Ager. You are in the psychic field. You are a remote viewer. Maybe you're someone connected to the Institute of Noetic Sciences. Maybe somebody there at the University of in Arizona. Maybe involved in the study of engaging extra-dimensional entities. Because this all involves extended human capacities. Now, that's what Ed Mitchell and much of the website of the Institute for Noetic Sciences talk about. It's about the developing, evolving, acquiring of extended human capacities. So that if you lead people into every kind, listen, you know what? Somebody playing with a Ouija board is dealing with extended human capacities. Somebody going to the tarot card reader, somebody going to the astrologer, somebody going to the psychic, somebody acquiring information from the remote viewer, they're going beyond what we would consider just the pure normal Homo sapien. They're going into a field of extended human capacities. That's what's happening. And there is vast warning. There is a serious, serious spiritual neglect here. And here's why I want to say to everyone listening, At least listen for a moment as I say that spiritual deception burns my britches to the point that it is something that has to be dealt with. The spiritual teaching that sounds very tantalizing, very spiritual, almost scientific, the concept of an evolutionary development through some kind of special knowledge, acquiring, going forward, gaining, there is that illusionary or elusive carrot out before the donkey. The donkey constantly going forward, constantly going forward, constantly going forward. Got to get to the carrot, got to get to the carrot, the tasty carrot. All I got to do is reach the carrot. All the while, the donkey doesn't realize with its mind focused on the carrot, the elusive carrot, all the while. The donkey is really serving the masters who put the carrot out there. And what I'm going to share with you, that there is a spiritual carrot out in front of millions of people. It's elusive. It's something that they can see. There's a vision, there's a sense, there's a wish, there's a desire. I mean, humanity must be changed, yes. Where does the change come from? Is it the old, humanist educational developmental side? Is it the secular humanist pull yourself up by your own bootstraps? But that's not working, so secular humanism is no longer secular humanism. Instead, we now have cosmic humanism. Save man by man's quest in the spiritual realm. See, all of the counterfeit spirituality feeds the ego of man. You can become homo nauticus. You can become homo lumos. In the genetic altering in the area of super soldiers. I mean, what if you can go and buy genes that can allow you to see in the dark? Allow you to be taller? Allow you to have a change in the color of your eyes? What if you could do this cosmetically? What if you could do it to the advantage on the football field? Not steroids, but genetic manipulation. See, now I want to say one thing, that we will see more and more and more of a connection between the physical goal of genetic manipulation, biological manipulation, to change and alter the fundamental nature of humanity. And on the other side of that fence is the spiritual side. Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut, looks down upon the earth and sees everything. It's not physical. The answer has to be spiritual. And with that portion of the argument of the, quest, I agree. But what spirit will you embrace? There is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now operative supernaturally in millions upon millions upon millions around the world. There is, as the Word of God says, God is spirit. God is transcendent, infinite, awesome, but God has stepped in. I need to ask the question, in all of this, I see an enormous absence of the embrace of the revelation of God, of the enormity of what salvation is, what it does, how it is both on the physical and spiritual side, the fix. Did you know that in the work that Jesus did on the cross, it involves not only spiritual, but your entire conscious being, your moral being, and ultimately your physical, spiritual self. Where death is conquered, sin is forgiven, new empowerment to live what is right, and a day in which God, not man, God, not genetically enhanced humanity, God, not superior, evolved, conscious selves, or even a collective of superior beings. I mean, it's almost as though they're believing that they can become eventually kind of like ascended masters. I mean, where'd they come from? So I've got some questions to ask tonight to those who are involved in this concept. In this concept of an evolutionary development. Number one, listen, I would say in a spiritual providential way, I think these three things need to be looked at. Number one, what are the extended human capacities? I mean, remote viewing, I've been calling this non-human enhancements. All of us can grow. All of us can develop. We can take our physical muscles, our mind. There's a lot of things we can do to grow and develop. Some people in the area of sports included steroids. It's kind of a cheating going on there. But what can we do with humanity? How far can we take? How high can we jump? How far can we see? How much can we know? And what can change the fundamental behavior issues? Where a man or a woman doesn't harm another man or a woman. Where a man or a woman doesn't cheat, steal, lie, and all these things. So the question is, when we talk about extended human capacities, I want you to know that salvation in Christ involves the presence of God coming into our lives, that an outside human experience comes to the inside. That the living Christ, not just forgiveness, but that's included in important. But it involves the conquering of death, the opening of the door to immortality, the coming new, the new race. And I'm going to bring out the largest, broadest definition of the coming human race that I've ever done so far on Friday called, listen, there's homonautigus, homolumos. I refer to the Antichrist as homo satanus. But beyond all of this, there is what I will now refer to as homo glorious. You know, homo sapiens, that is, just human beings redeemed by God, by God's way, by the Spirit of God, by infinite spiritual presence, by the wisdom, the knowledge, the power, the love, the desire of God. Homo glorious, glorification. Friday, 6 p.m., I will be giving a broad, broad, deep definition and let you know that it is the invitation of the ages. But it doesn't come from the hand of man. It doesn't come from finite spirits who are involved in an evolutionary process to bring in an agenda, a new order in the world, and bring about a evolved spiritual human being, the Antichrist, the world teacher, the Mahdi, the Maitreya, the ultimate human Homo nauticus, homo deity. But in reality, homo satanus. Here is what, in all the websites, and all the books, and all the discussions and engagements, is deeply missing. The reality of spiritual deception, of plotted, planned, with the goal. Listen, the Spirit of God says, you want to know what the Spirit of God says? The Spirit of God, uncreated, infinite. The Spirit of God says that in the end of days, when it's really radical out here, you can read this. I mean, you can read this. This is Timothy 4:1. And for those that are being convinced by the spiritual process of homo nauticus that the Bible and all of its revelations need to be thrown out, why? When it talks of God's love, God's redemption, homo glorious. When it talks about the deceit, when the prophecies are 100% accurate, and again, let me just say that the book will never be, as Jesus said, a jot or tittle. It's eternal. The issue is, there is one side to the spiritual engagement going on that wants that book off the table. They don't want anybody to read it. They don't want anybody to regard it. They want that off. There is a spiritual emerging, manifesting development worldwide that Jesus Christ warned about 2,000 years ago. Its only goal is to deceive many, to offer the elusive spiritual carrot that seems to give a dream for the fix, the flaws, the limitations of humanity, the critical and chaotic times. There will be a presentation of an alternative fix. You can go to the thief if you want, and have the thief come into your home and tell you where you should hide your gold, if that's your choice. There's another spiritual stream, infinite, flowing, all based on the motivation that God loves humanity, God that created. See, the whole goal in Homo Nauticus, Homo Lumos, the idea of mankind changing in consciousness that will lead to a physical change, ultimately to a divine status, is where they're going, and a status of immortality. The carrot is there, the carrot is there, the carrot is there. Run after the carrot, run after the carrot. Who has reached that goal? When will that occur? Someone asked a question in this belief system of a spiritual leading, guiding enlightenment that leads humanity to Homo Nauticus. Who's behind that? What intelligent presence is behind that? What power? Is it for everybody, or only those who yield to that spirit, to that presence? And for those that do not yield to the spiritual evolution, to a transformation of human consciousness for the sake of a new world order and a whole new future of humanity, an altered superior humanity, if those that don't yield to that, which implies there's choice. It seems like the hidden message everywhere, all the way back to 1930s with Alice Bailey, is, well, for those that don't yield to this developing spiritual process, you're dead. You're out of here. You'll be cleansed. You stand in the way. And that's a good thing, say the 2012 prophecies, right? 1 billion, 2 billion, 3 billion gone, only to make way for a new Homo Nauticus, Homo Lumos, Homo Deity, all for this new emerging humanity that either replaces God, becomes God, doesn't need God. Spiritual, you know, red flags should be going off everywhere to anybody that's read the prophecies of Daniel 2,600 years ago, the prophecies of Isaiah 2,700 years ago, the words of Christ. Listen, the most loving, the most incredibly spiritual being that ever walked the planet, the one that walked on water, all of creation obeyed him. He was sinless, went to the cross. See, for Homo Nauticus, for those that are making it look like an intelligent design science something, where's the cross? Where's the cross? Evolutionary geneticists, well, biologists in the area of, changing the human germline, changing everything about genetics, where's the cross? This is where I'm saying to all the New Agers, to all those that are involved, this is why I would say very clearly to Ed Mitchell and to others like that, that you have missed the most spiritual event wielding the greatest incredible possible changes humanity could ever have. What Jesus did at the cross ripped wide open the door to return to God in a personal and eternal relationship, not just power, energy, feeling, and non-human enhancement, though God gives all of that. No question about it, for 35 years, I have felt his power, his energy, his life, his love. The joy of the Lord is my strength. But I want you to know that with the non-human enhancements to do the work, to do the ministry, to do the stuff, to engage the spirits that claim to be ancient masters, translucent New Age guides, spirit guides, to engage them and see them outed for what they really are, there's a dark side. And the dark side's goal, as prophesied, will come packaged as if it were light, as if it will fix the named flaws in human character, human spirituality, human society. There's going to be a clear choice on the table. There's an alternative masqueraded promise. The elusive spiritual carrot out there on the stick, and the enemy, the dark side, will use you like a donkey. There's the other side. Jesus gave the invitation that anybody that believed in him, listen, you're believing, listen, if you're part of the other side of this fence, you're believing possibly in this evolution of human consciousness by a spiritual force. What force is that? What about the spiritual promise and the life of God? Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of their inmost being would flow rivers of living water, the power of God. Very important, very vital. God has the answer in Christ. The spiritual presence, as I've always said, that will guide in an opposite direction with a masqueraded front will always lead you away from the book of God, away from the Christ of God, away from the salvation, the door, and the ultimate glorification of God. Do you know God? That's where the proof in the pudding lies. There's people that talk about God being an energy, God being a force, that they've got to redesign. You know why they got to redesign it? Because they don't know God. And that's my second point tonight. The issue, the fact is that they don't know God. And so when it comes to all this spirituality and spiritual seeking, spiritual everything, when you don't know God, then if you redefine and then embrace what you have made God out to be, well, that might be just like AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, engaging a higher power, whatever you make it out to be. In other words, making God in your image. We're at the end of the hour. The music is on. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. God bless you and good night.